And so tonight we continue a series we've been going through for the last few weeks, the last couple months, where we've been walking through the book of Ephesians, and we've been walking through it slowly. I hope you've enjoyed this series, this time of walking through a book of the Bible slowly. I think it's important. I think it's important because often we read large chunks looking for themes, reading stories. And I think that's good. I think it's good to read larger pieces, reading stories and reading themes. But I think it's also good to sometimes take some time and look at just a few verses at a time. It's in those times that I'm blown away at just how deep these words go. That especially as I prepare sermons on even just four verses, I'm often blown away at the fact that there's no way you could actually cover everything that's going on. This book, the scriptures are unbelievably brilliant. And the more you dig, the more you find out there is, and the more it continues to blow me away. I hope you've had that experience as we've walked through the book of Ephesians. We continue tonight at Ephesians chapter 6. I will be reading at verse 1. It is on page 1136. Of your pew Bible. Ephesians chapter 6, starting at verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you, and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. A quick note first on the way that we read. I think often for many of us, we read because of our schooling and our education, our on-the-job training. Often we read for information. We read things to try to fill our heads. We read for knowledge. We read to learn things that we didn't know. We read for information, which is good. But I think that a problem with that is that a lot of times information has a way of getting into our head, but it often stays there. That when information goes into our head, often it doesn't have the ability to really change the way that we live. But there's a different type of reading, a type of reading I think that seeks after not just information, but also seeks after transformation, to use a word that rhymes, that allows the words that we read to actually get into our heads, but to not stop there. To continue down, to get into our heart, to get into the core of who we are, so that because of what we read, tomorrow can't be like today. Because of what we're reading, because of what we're studying, tomorrow's going to be different, because these words are shaping us. These words are forming us. And because of these words, we are daily being made more and more into people that look a lot like Jesus. I think it's important, especially on verses like what we read today, because I think, as I look back on my childhood, the number of times I've heard these verses used in a type of setting where you have parents and you have kids and the kids are misbehaving, and how often you hear, you need to respect me, you need to listen because the Bible says so. And it does. It does, but I think sometimes we have a way of reading also through somebody else's eyes. That instead of seeking, what is this saying to me? How does this shape me? Sometimes we read it thinking, have you ever heard after a sermon or after a Bible study or story, I hope they heard that. I saw that person in the back. I hope they were paying attention. They needed to hear that. It would have been really good for that person to be here this morning. They needed to hear. And I think sometimes in reading for other people, sometimes we fail to ask those questions of ourselves. What is it that I need to hear? How is it that these words are working on me? How is tomorrow going to be different because of the words that we've read? How are we being shaped? So my challenge is that we read the words in the Bible. One, yes, to get information. I think that's good. But to not let that information stay here, but to let that information have a way of moving inside of us to actually change the way that we live, to transform us continually. And so this tonight, Paul is talking about parents, and he's talking about children. And he's talking about this relationship between the two. See, during Paul's day, Paul was seen by some people as being a threat to what some people call like this household code, the way that families work, the way that systems, the way that societies work. See, during the day that Paul lived, they understood that they didn't believe that people's value were equal, but there was a hierarchy that people were above others. Some people were vastly above others to the point where some people were almost viewed as possessions. During Paul's day, to say that husbands and wives have equal value, often in Paul's day, wives were almost viewed as being possessions of their husbands. Masters owned slaves. Kids were really owned, they were possessions of their parents, to the point where in some areas during that day, parents could actually determine whether the children lived or died. This was a society that placed some people vastly above others. And so in a society that ranks people, in a society that claims that some people are actually possessions, Paul comes along and Paul starts saying things like Galatians 3, "You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you were baptized into Christ and have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus." And so in a culture that claims that some people are vastly above others, Paul comes in and says, no. No, we all have value. We are all sons of God. And now you don't have a difference in value because of these different categories you might fall in. In fact, the categories don't even really matter. There is no Greek nor Jew. There is no male nor female. You are all one in Christ Jesus. You all have value because you were created in the very image of God. And so to a culture that ranked people, Paul comes in preaching this, and some people feel threatened. So Paul, in our passage tonight, is explaining, how then do we live? How then do we live with one another? If we don't own others, and if we're not possessions, what does this look like? How do we live with each other? How does this affect the way that we live? We saw in the last verses of the chapter just before this was dealing with husbands and wives. Paul's calling husbands, wives, love, respect one another. This changes things. When we live the way of Jesus, when we live this type of way, it changes things. Husbands, you don't own your wife. You are called to love your wife. Wives, love, respect your husbands. This changes things. In our passage this evening, Paul is speaking to this relationship between parents and children, and he starts with the kids. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. What's interesting is in this day, Paul is in some eyes being felt like a threat, as though he's challenging what's going on. What's fascinating is what Paul appeals to defend what he believes. He goes back to the law. So Paul's saying, no, this isn't something brand new, but the way I'm going to start my argument is by going back to one of the commandments, one of the laws that was given to Moses on Mount Sinai. That is how I'm shaping how this works. And a practice that I have is whenever something is being quoted, I'll often look back to the original time it was said. So if he's quoting a commandment, often I'll go back and look at the commandment that's being quoted. Because often you'll find that they sound very, very similar. Other times you'll see little things change. Sometimes they add something, sometimes something's taken away, and sometimes we can actually I think, learn something from the way that they've used that quote. So Paul then, he's saying, honor your father and mother that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. If we look at the first time this was said, in Exodus 20, verse 12, it says, honor your father and mother, sounds the same so far, so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. Now, if you look at the two, they look pretty similar, don't they? Do you see the difference? In Ephesians, so that you may live long on the earth. In Exodus, that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. Today, I think these two words look pretty similar to us. After all, the earth is essentially a bunch of land, right? But to the Jewish people during Paul's day, I think there's a difference. Because when you look through the Old Testament, the land has a prominent role within the promise that God made to his people. In the Old Testament, the word land is actually the fourth most common used word. We read a lot about the land in the Old Testament. From the very beginning of the promise God makes to Abraham is that you will have a land. The land is tied to this blessing that God will give to his people. And so through the Old Testament, we see God's blessing them with land, and then their sin drives them out of the land, and then God comes back in and graciously blesses them again by giving them a land. So land to the Jewish people was central to how they believed God was going to bless them as a nation. So if you're Paul and you're going to give this commandment to people who might be Jews and Gentiles, how does that work? Because after all, the commandment the first time was given to the Jewish people, and it was a blessing that incorporated the land, which is something very central to the Jewish belief of this, the way that God will bless them. And so how do you say that in a way that remembers Galatians 3, that there is no Jew nor Greek? What Paul's doing is he's broadening it. He's saying that these commandments are not just for a specific people in a specific place. These are actually commandments for all people everywhere. Paul is saying that this is not just something for the Jewish people. This is something for everyone. This is something that applies to all people. We see Jesus doing something similar. We read in Psalm 37, but the meek will inherit the land and enjoy great peace. And we all know one of the famous Beatitudes, blessed are meek, for they will inherit the earth. These are good for all people. This is being brought in to incorporate everyone. So we begin, Paul talking to the kids, Paul talking to the children, honor, obey, respect those whom God has put into your life as parents. And then Paul moves on to the parents. Paul says, fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. And a quick note. Paul says, fathers, I think we would be missing out if we think that Paul is just speaking to the dads. For a couple reasons. Number one, in the Greek culture, it was a very male-oriented, male-dominated culture. And so often, when addressing people, they would use the male form of a word. And so even if you have a group full of people, they would be addressed as brothers. You could have a group full of women with a man, and you would address brothers. It sounds a lot like if I were to stand up and say, hey, how are you guys doing tonight? It's a greeting that incorporates everyone that sounds very masculine. So there's that, but then there's also, during Paul's day, the father is the one that had ultimate control on training and disciplining of children. And so Paul here, in talking about the training of children, talks to fathers, but in our day today, I think we would be missing out if we think that Paul is only talking to dads. I think we start understanding that Paul is actually addressing parents. He's addressing fathers and mothers. He's addressing parents. And what he's doing is he's He's reminding them that bringing up children is an important thing. It's not something to be taken lightly. It's something that matters. Because Paul knows that God works through family systems. Paul says that in not exasperating your children, instead we are to bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord, because God has been working through families from the beginning. We read in the story of Abraham, Abraham will surely become a great and powerful nation, and all nations on earth will be blessed through him. For I have chosen him so that he will direct his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing what is right and just. So we see that God says that he chose Abraham. Why? So that he might raise his children, his household, after him to keep the way of the Lord. When we read the Old Testament, we see God working through families. God works with Abraham, and then through Abraham's son Isaac, through Isaac's son Jacob, through Jacob's children, through Joseph at the end of Genesis, and then through some of his other ancestors, through Levi and Moses, through King David, ultimately an ancestor, Jesus. So we see that God works through family systems. The way that we raise children matters, and it's not something to be taken lightly. But in both, the instruction to kids, the instruction to parents, did you notice the thing that was the same? We'll read it once more. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. You notice that both times Paul says there's a way that we listen and obey our parents, and there's a way that we train our children. This way is in the Lord. Because Paul understands that their culture, his society, is saying, this is how you treat one another. You treat one another not as equals, but as this system. And Paul is saying, there's another way. There's another way. There's the way of Jesus. And so instead of raising our kids like our culture says we should, we raise our kids the way Jesus says we should. Instead of treating our parents like our culture says, we treat them as Jesus would have us. Which raises the question, how do we know? What gauge is that? And I think it's important. I think it's always a good thing to look at some of the words Jesus says are the greatest. What he says are the greatest commandment. The story, one of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question. Teacher, what is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. So Paul knows that he lives in a world that the culture, their society says, this is the way that husband and wives treat one another. This is the way that parents and children treat one another. This is the way that we treat each other. And Paul is saying, there's another way, a way that looks more like Jesus. And so as a child, how do you treat your parents in a way that loves God and loves each other? You listen. You obey. You respect. You love. As parents, how do you treat your children in a way that shows that you love God and that you love one another? You don't exasperate them. You don't set them up for failure. Instead, you raise them in a way that trains them up to be people who look more and more like Jesus. But I don't think it stops there. As employees, how do you treat your boss in a way that shows that you love God and that you love one another? How do you treat the person who serves you food in a way that shows that you love God and that you love one another? How do you treat the people in your break room at work in a way that shows that you love God and that you love one another. How do you show? The person driving way too slow on the highway, that you love God and you love one another. Because I believe this is the type of life that Paul is calling us to, that we don't treat each other like our society says is okay, but that we treat one another the way that Jesus calls us to live, a way that shows in the way that we treat one another that we love God, and that as we love God, we also love one another. This is the way we're to live. This is the way of Jesus. Please pray with me. Father God, as we go from here, may your words never be far from us. May we use the words that we read, the words that you speak, your word, our scripture, may that have a way of sinking into us so that we're not just filling our heads, but we're actually becoming a different type of people. We're becoming people that resemble more and more your Son. It's in his name we pray. Amen.